It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Twitter announces its quarterly earnings today, and while the newly public company has had a whirlwind evolution from social network curiosity to data juggernaut, it is facing a unique kind of growth problem. It has around 250 million monthly active users, but it doesn't seem to be gaining more of them as fast as investors have hoped. Our friend and CNET editor Lindsay Turrentine joins us to talk about this. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
This is now kind of our chance to take a look at how Twitter is doing, especially perhaps in the gaining new followers, so to speak.
Yes. I mean, it is having a hard time keeping people around past the initial sign-up phase.
And is this partly because there's a lot of these, you know, ghost accounts, we'll call them, or maybe we'll call them lurker accounts, where people are sort of signing up, poking around, and then staying silent, or maybe just not actually hanging out on Twitter very much anymore?
Well, I think a few things happen. One is that there's some of these accounts that get created for a future project. Like you wake up in the middle of the night one night and you say, I have a great idea for a business or just a Twitter account that would be hilarious.
Gandalfisms.
Exactly. And so you go get, you know, you set up a Gmail account and you sign up for Twitter with that Gmail account. But it's not a Gmail account you've ever used before. And then you forget to log into that Gmail account again. And you kind of lose track of the Twitter account. And then it's just sitting there.
I've been there, sister.
I have too. So that's one problem. And I think the other problem is an honest-to-goodness social anxiety problem. They sign up, they follow some people they know, and then they maybe tweet a little bit, but nobody's following them.
So FOMO turns to awkwardness, turns to the slow text fade breakup.
Yes. So Twitter's trying to combat this in a few ways. Wired uncovered some testing that Twitter seems to be doing to keep people from running away. So doing a much smarter job recommending accounts and people to follow and a lot more people you actually know. So that, you know, the first time you come back to Twitter, maybe you actually have a response from somebody you know, which is, you know, gratifying.
What else are you thinking about as we approach this sort of second quarter as a public company milestone?
It seems like at a certain point, Twitter needs to differentiate a little bit and sort of expose its average user to more interesting content so that it can find creative ways to show you new advertisements. It'll be interesting to see how Twitter does that.
Lindsay Turrentine, Editor-in-Chief of Reviews at CNET. Lindsay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Whether you're lurking or not, you should follow us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. Janet Vertesi did her Facebook friends a solid over the last 9 months. She did not talk about her pregnancy online all the time. In fact, she asked other people not to talk about it either. And whether she was shopping or looking at WebMD, she tried to be an anonymous user. Janet Vertesi did all of this because she's a sociologist of science and technology at Princeton University, interested in data tracking. Janet, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
So why did you do this?
One of the things I've been increasingly concerned about is the rise of data-driven marketing, that there seems to be this middle layer that has evolved of bots and trackers and cookies on the internet, that they're there to follow you around and see what you're doing and sort of report back on that. And I was also inspired from what I've learned about pregnant women in particular for data-driven marketing, which is that we're an extremely valuable demographic.
Right. 15 times what a non-pregnant woman is?
Basically, 10 to 15 times what a normal consumer is worth.
So tell me about your process.
So when we called our family and friends, and we actually did the sort of old school thing of picking up the phone and calling them, we called everyone and we said, please don't put this on Facebook. We also tried to buy everything in cash.
You also used this Tor network.
I couldn't have done this without Tor. Tor, for those of you that don't know, is a browser that you can use. It anonymizes your browsing.
Popular among the illegal drug trade and pregnant women.
Exactly.
Yes.
And pregnant women. Yeah. So I used it for babycenter.com, for nameberry.com, because so many of those websites also have trackers and cookies that know that you're visiting so they can follow you around with advertising afterwards.
Were there any consequences that you didn't expect?
One thing that really got us thinking was realizing that so many of the behaviors we had to engage in were the kinds of things that would tag you for criminal behavior, right? Like pulling out copious amounts of cash all over the city, using Tor, anything that we tried to do to avoid tracking is the kind of thing that looks like we're up to no good and not just having a baby.
Obviously, we're talking about you being pregnant now, so we're officially blowing up your spot. So you're going to go back to your pre-pregnancy life of giving up your data to these folks, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly, this was a really difficult experiment, and I would not recommend that other people try it. But what I would recommend is thinking seriously about how and where you want your data to go. So that doesn't mean don't participate in social networks or don't buy anything online. But it does mean I think it's time to think seriously about how and where we want to engage in these kinds of transactions and to offer consumers a choice.
Janet Vertesi is a sociologist of science and technology at Princeton University. Janet, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Quick reminder, the new Internet Explorer security hole discovered in recent days means you should avoid using the popular Microsoft browser until it's fixed. The U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, CERT, which is part of the Homeland Security Department, recommended as much this week. So for now, using another browser is better. Estimates vary, but some suggest almost 55% of computers using desktop internet browsers use Explorer. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.